Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk episode number 86. What's up, everybody? I'm Gabe Jones, flying solo this week. This is a show by the fans, for the fans, and I'm here in my home studio this week, flying solo. Josiah couldn't make it this week. Sorry to all his adoring fans, but it's just me this week. We've got a great show for you today. This is not a repeat of a few months ago, but Death Therapy is joining us again this week to talk about their brand new release called Voices. It is their second record, and Jason is joining us this week to go in depth about the record. It's a great record. I've gotten a chance to listen to it over the last week, and Jason does not disappoint. He's released a few singles over the course of the last few months, but he released a full-length record over the weekend, and it is great. It's called Voices, and we will go more in depth to that later on in the show. Before we get later on in the show, and if you hear something weird in the background, I'm actually recording this during a tornado watch, so there's a lot of winds and a lot of rain. Hopefully I survive. Love you guys. But we need to talk about our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Hey guys, unfortunately, when it comes to making a podcast, it's fun. You get to do a lot of stuff, but it does cost money to put it on the webs. It does cost money to host it. And with your support, we're able to continue to do this. For as low as $1 a month on patreon.com/decentchristiantalk, you can join our team. $5 a month, people like Jody, Maria, Lorena, Michael, I don't want to forget anybody, and of course Leslie, are on our team, and they are faithful $5 a month subscribers. They get a bonus episode every single week. This week we are talking about our throwback album of the week. This album actually turns 16 years old next month, and it is called Blueprints for the Black Market. It's by a band called Amberlin, who just announced a U.S. tour this summer. That's exciting news for Amberlin fans, but we're going to be talking about their debut album that turns 16 years old next month. We're going to be talking about that on the bonus episode, and we're also going to be talking about my album pick of the week, but you'll have to check that out. I'm not going to give it away here, but you're going to have to check that out in the Patreon episode, and that's a bonus, and it's only for premium Patreon subscribers. I can't talk. Josiah would have made fun of me right there. We also have a level called the $10 a month and tour, and it's all thanks for supporting our podcast, and we couldn't do the show without you guys. Thank you so much. If you would like to check that out, again, it's at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Hey guys, this is a fun episode. It's an in-depth look at Death Therapy's release called Voices. You can check that out anywhere you find music: iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music. But we're going to get right into it with Jason Wisdom. So without further ado, here is our interview with Death Therapy.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Yeah, man, so I know you've got your second album. It's out April 12th. It's called Voices.
Yep.
It's crazy. It just seems like yesterday your first one came out. I know this has been a kind of over the past year, you've kind of put your heart into this. What are some themes in this one? That I know that the title is called Voices, but what are some themes behind this album?
Yeah, so the reason it's called Voices is it's a It's a heavily conceptual album based around sort of like, I guess the most cliche way to put it would be sort of the voices that are battling inside of my mind, you know. But basically just different. I wanted to lay out all of the different sorts of things, like messages that are always fighting for my attention or my allegiance, or however you want to phrase it, and basically let them fight each other. So every song is kind of like a debate. So people who don't really dig deeply into the lyrics probably won't understand all of that. But if someone takes time to really figure out what's going on in the lyrics, every song kind of has two, sometimes more, different voices that are speaking, arguing with each other, sort of. I think it's kind of a neat way to approach. I'm hoping that people will get a lot out of it to approach that idea, you know?
Yeah. So when you start writing a song, do you end up writing the music first and then the kind of the lyrics follow, or how does that work with you?
Yeah, I've always been a music first kind of guy, but Death Therapy, it's like half and half with Death Therapy. Still usually have music first, but sometimes there's just a lyrical idea or something that I need to put to a song, and then I, you know, write around it.
So these voices that this album talks about, is that dealing, in your opinion, with a lot of like mental health? Is that just kind of I don't know, the voices that are in the world attacking a person, yeah, per se? I mean, where are these, like, what's some examples of these voices?
Yeah, so it's kind of all encompassing. I mean, so I'll give you some examples. So there's a song called "It's Okay," which we just released, which is a single with Matt from Spoken as a guest vocalist. It's a song where the first half of the song, basically the lyrics say things like, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I've seen. It's basically from the perspective of the voice that says, you don't understand me, and you don't know what it feels like to be lost and hopeless and depressed. So that's a mental health kind of thing, but also sort of an alienation thing. And whether that person, that voice is talking to another person, or their, you know, their parent, or their, you know, whoever they look up to, or they're just talking straight to God, they're sort of voicing that frustration of like, don't try to tell me it's okay, or it's all going to be okay. But then the second half of the song is from the perspective of the voice of Jesus, or the voice of God, saying, well, that's why I came. That's why, you know, I gave my life. That's why I shed my blood, so I could tell you it's okay to not be okay. So, that's kind of like, in a nutshell, that's the way the album kind of goes. But there are other songs that go way down tangents. The last track on the record is, you know, 14 minute long epic song, and it's from the book perspective of the book of Job, where God sort of responds to Job. So it's the voice of God in that case. And there's a couple little parts where Job responds and says, okay, I get it. I'm nobody, you know?
Right.
So it's a lot of back and forth. Some of it's mental health voices, some of it's just the voices of the world, basically, or some of it's voices of doubt or skepticism. You know, anything that I feel like I have struggled with and other people might struggle with, just sort of put it out there, you know?
Is it true that you went to like a theological school? Is that true?
Yeah, I have two master's degrees, actually, both from seminary. I have a master's in theology and a master's in apologetics. So
the reason I ask that is because a lot of your songwriting reminds me of Andrew Schwab from Project 86. And
yeah, he's a big influence.
Yeah,
for me, for sure.
And I mean, he's got a lot of background that's similar to that. When you write these songs, do they come from your own life? I mean, is it something that comes from your own experience? Is it like a C.S. Lewis book, that something that you've read? I mean, a lot of times, what are these songs being written from?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. But with Death Therapy, as opposed to my previous, you know, musical endeavors, Death Therapy is a very organic sort of stream of consciousness type of writing process for me. So a lot of the time it's literally just putting onto paper, you know, the things I'm either struggling with at the moment or have struggled with, or, you know, over the course of a couple years, you know, since the last record, I'll just make notes in my phone, you know, during different moments, you know, and then I'll revisit those later and I'll go, okay, yeah, that'd be an interesting idea for a song, you know? So yeah, it's a little bit of all that. I mean, I have lots of very epic, high concepts that I would love to do. C.S. Lewis is a huge hero of mine. Andrew Schwab, and again, like I said, musically is a big influence as a lyric writer. But Death Therapy, I've kind of stuck more to the, you know, to the organic type of things and less in the, like my previous band, Becoming the Archetype, I wrote all kinds of stuff about, you know, epic battles and, you know what I mean, fantasy type right. of stuff, imagery. So Death Therapy has been much more about personal issues and struggles and things like that. And here's the thing, that was something that after I left that band, the thing that meant the most to me was how our music impacted people's lives who really needed it. People who were struggling with thoughts of suicide, and they would say, oh, I listened to this song that you wrote, and these lyrics, you know, kept me from hurting myself, or, you know, whatever. What I'm saying is, so when I started Death Therapy, that was something I really felt like that's what matters, you know? So that's been a huge part of it. Not to say that other things don't matter, but I'm just saying that's been kind of my motivation.
So when you create these songs, you've got a lot of collaborations on this album. You have Josh from Glasslands. You mentioned Matt from Spoken, Garrett from Silent Planet. A lot of times when people write movies or TV shows, they'll have someone in mind when it comes to a character. Does that work with you? I mean, do you have someone in mind when you're writing these songs to be that voice?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So every person who did a guest vocal spot on the record was someone that I knew I wanted to do that part, regardless of whether or not they were available. So if they had said no, I actually already had the parts recorded.
Okay.
So I already recorded their parts, but then I came to them and said, hey, I think you would be the person for this. You know, you would make this better. And so, yeah, I totally had them in mind all along, and I think it worked out great. I hope people will give it a shot. And, you know, I think the first three songs we put out are those three songs with the sync or with the guest vocals.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some people think that's weird, you know, because they're kind of like, well, I mean, why do all the songs have a guest vocalist? And I really wanted to establish the concept of the record. But also, you know, I think those are great songs, but I don't want people to get the idea that, okay, I've heard the three songs that have guest vocalists. Those are probably the only good songs. I think there are much better songs on the record. Not that I don't like those songs, but I'm kind of sad that we didn't get to release other ones, you know, for people to hear ahead of time, because I think there's some really, really good, really, really good songs. And no two songs are the same on this record. That's another thing.
That's very true.
About the Death Therapy sort of catalog is, at this point, I've got 19 songs recorded and none of them are the same. So, unless you count the video game songs, those are kind of similar. I hear you say.
Gotta believe, but it feels like fiction to me. Feels like fiction. Feels like since you mentioned how collaborations with rock is kind of it's kind of more rare than maybe say like another genre like hip hop or even country. Why do you think that is? I mean, it seems like it's something that works, especially with your band.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think rock and roll, this is going to get really deep for the nerds. I think rock and roll there was always a really high bar to entry in like the 70s, 80s, 90s, meaning you had to like spend money on equipment. You had to learn to play an instrument. You had to do all those things. And so there was not as much of a need, like there wasn't as much of a need to pull in somebody who's already famous to help you get a leg up in a market that's saturated. Whereas hip hop, the market was oversaturated really, really early. You know, there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of rappers. Not to say there's not a skill level. That's not what I'm saying, but there's a different bar to entry. People could sit home and make the beats themselves. And even now, you know, people are making mixtapes and SoundCloud stuff all the time for hip hop or EDM. And country music has always been sort of, you know, the guy sitting around with his acoustic guitar kind of thing, at least in the old days. So I think rock and roll was always one of those things where it was like you didn't have to do something to mark yourself. Hip hop has always had tons of, you know, collaborations. I mean, going all the way back to the beginning, it was you could have 5 or 8 tracks out of 10 on a record that have guest vocalists. Because it's what draws people's attention. I think rock and roll is starting to move more that way now that the market's so oversaturated with streaming stuff. You see more and more bands, you know, having guest vocalists. You know, there's a new, you could just pull it out of the sky, but like, what's the Memphis Mayfire? They just put out a new song with with a guest vocalist on it. I mean, I've seen tons of bands, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's very different than it used to be, you know. Demon Hunter didn't have any guest vocalists for like the first 4 records, and then all of a sudden they've had 2 or 3 guest vocalists on the last, you know, several records, you know. I think it's just becoming more normal in rock now.
Are you going to try doing the double album like them next time?
I would love to do that. Honestly, that to me is sort of like, I'm jealous that they got, you know, that they're in a place where they can do that. Obviously, they've been around for 20 years and they, you know, they're huge. I mean, they're arguably the biggest band in their genre. And, you know, but for me and my style, that's exactly what I would love to do because, you know, as I said, no 2 songs that I write are the same. And to be able to do something where I could kind of focus my attention and go, okay, this album's going to be songs that fit this way, and this album's going to be songs that fit this way. You know, I feel like I could really go nuts with that, and it'd be a lot of fun. So, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah, that would be cool. Especially with your brain, pretty much.
well, my brain may be ahead of my abilities sometimes. So I get overly ambitious. I mean, one of my musical heroes is Devin Townsend, and I mean his latest album just came out, and it's, you know, he said on Twitter that he spent $170,000 of his own personal money producing the record. That's, you know, he was hiring choirs and hiring orchestras and traveling all over the world, getting all these people. He's got guest vocalists all over that record. The music videos are insane. You know, that I have that kind of ambition. I would like to be like Devin, but I can't. I don't have $170,000. I don't have $170, but you know, so
yeah.
But that's where my brain wants to go, you know. So
getting
if people will support our record, that will, you know, there you go. There's your
there
you
go.
Can get more out of me if you will support our music.
Buy it, don't stream it.
Right. Well, do both. See, that's a whole nother topic for another show or something, but like what bands like us really need in this new world is we need, like, let's just making round numbers. We need 5,000 people to go buy our record, but then we need those same 5,000 people who buy our record to also go follow us on Spotify and stream it every once in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's the way that's the way the market works now. Yes, record sales are awesome because they're record sales.
That's pretty much radio now.
Right, but the Spotify is like the new radio. Everyone looks at it and goes, oh, your numbers on Spotify are really low. And that tells them that you're not a very important band, which is sad. You know, 10 years ago, we were looking at MySpace numbers. and now that's irrelevant. So I wonder where we'll be in 10 more years, you know?
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that 10 years from now, artists will be so fed up with streaming services that we're going to be back to, you know, vinyl and cassettes and everything. And vinyl's already made a comeback, you know? So we'll see.
Back to talking about you creating music. Your live show is really unique, especially because it's a two-person band. When you create these songs, do you have the live show in mind, or is that something that you kind of figure out after you make the songs?
That's a good question. I think it definitely comes after the fact. I would say there's two kinds of musicians. I mean, there's lots of different kinds, but there's, broadly speaking, there are performers, and they're the kind of people that put on a show, and then they're the sort of the painters or the, you know, the novelists. And to use an analogy, I'm more of a novelist. I like to go to my closet and, you know, hide away in secret and create something and then come out and show it to you after it's done. I'm not a guy that, you know, writes the music, you know, thinking, oh man, you know, this is how I'm going to jam this part live, and I'm going to spin my guitar here, and I'm going to, you know, we're going to have pyrotechnics here. I don't even think about that. I'm just thinking about the music itself and how it's going to sound or come across, you know, in the lyrics. To be totally, you know, vulnerable, the live show is something that I struggle with because it's something where, you know, I'm not as much wired as a performer. I've been doing it for a long time, so some people might think it comes totally naturally to me, but what comes more naturally to me is, like I said, the crafting the songs, and that's something I've always been better at. Now, is Death Therapy a two-person band? Yes and no. So it's entirely possible that you would see Death Therapy play at some point in the future, and we would have a keyboard player and who knows what else, you know. I've never wanted to limit Death Therapy to be a two-person band. So it is what it is currently as a two-person band. But the real feature of Death Therapy is that there's no guitar, you know. That's what makes us slightly different, is that I'm playing everything on the bass. But we do have keyboards when we play live. They're just usually on a backing track kind of thing. I would say if I could afford to, again, this is me going back to Devin Townsend, you know, as my hero. Devin has had performances you can find on YouTube where he shows up and there's a whole like traveling circus that's on stage with him, and, you know, fire breathers and musicians and choirs and orchestras. Man, I'd love to do that. You know, I wouldn't want to limit what Death Therapy can do to just, hey, they're a two-person thing. But in the meantime, we're a two-person band, and we try to rock as hard as we can.
Yeah, and like the two-person thing, it's been kind of becoming popular over the years with 21 Pilots and all of them.
Right. Maybe that's why I want to get away from it. I'm just kidding. I don't want to do what's popular. Well, but even – so I get here's a good example. Mainstream Christian rock radio band. I just forgot their name. For King and Country.
Yeah.
They are essentially a two-person band, but they perform with a huge group.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? It's essentially, what, it's Rebecca St. James Brothers or something, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Right, right. But it's just a couple of them, as far as I understand. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And they perform though with a huge group, and they put on a great show. By the way, we play lots of festivals with them, even though they're not metal. They put on an amazing show. So that to me is something that, you know, us as a smaller band, even in a different genre, I look up to that and I think, hey, what could we do to take our show to the next level? I mean, when you see 21 Pilots, there's two people, but you know, they'll have, I don't know, their latest tour, I saw videos, they had a car that was on fire on stage and you know what I mean? Yeah. We can't do that, obviously. but you know, that stuff's kind of cool. So yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. And you know, there's DC Talk and Jars of Clay back in the day. They had a lot of people too. Not that you would ever cover a DC Talk song or anything like that. That would be, that would be fun. So you've talked a little bit about streaming and kind of your, I don't know, adapting to that. Since you've started in the music industry, with Becoming the Archetype and Death Therapy, it's kind of been like the post Napster era. What's been the hardest thing for you dealing with streaming, dealing with social media? I mean, what has that been like for you?
So, I mean, I because I've been doing it so long, it would be really predictable for people to expect me to say that I'm grumpy about it and I don't like the new streaming stuff. You know, I like the old days where people would buy our, you know. I can see it both ways. I mean, in the old days, the thing that made it different in the old days was that the market was not as overwhelmed, you know. So when Becoming the Archetype started in 2000, well, we started in 1999, but 2004 is when we signed with Solid State Records. We put out our first record, and it pretty much, at that time, if you wanted to listen to Christian heavy metal music, you didn't have very many choices. You right. were going to Solid State or Face Down or some smaller labels, you know. And so we had a pretty big, you know, share of the market quickly. Versus now, there's all sorts of different things. And honestly, Christian record labels hardly are a thing anymore. I mean, even mainstream Christian artists now are, shrugging off the label of being a Christian artist.
Right.
And going for major record label deals and things like that. So on the one hand, the oversaturation of the market is a bummer, because it makes it a little harder. On the other hand, it sort of levels the playing field. You know, maybe we got a boost back in the mid-2000s that we didn't really earn. And now we kind of have to work our way up just like anybody. But also, there's actually more opportunities for us to get our music out to more people, you know? Becoming the Archetype was never played on any radio stations at all. And now with Spotify, it's kind of like the new radio, you know? There's people who put us on their playlist, and other things like that. So I can see it both ways. I'm kind of excited that we have new opportunities and stuff, but at the same time, it's an uphill battle, man. We are a tiny, tiny band. I'm not trying to like guilt trip anybody, but like, you know, we're the kind of band that if we come to your town on a Thursday night or something and you think, oh man, I wish I could go, but no big deal. It'll be a big show. People will have fun. Dude, that may not be the case. Like right. nobody may come. Like if you come, you might be the only one, you know? So we need all the support we can get. It's an uphill battle is all I'm saying. The music industry now is, it can be rewarding. There are people who are totally doing it a new way. That some people don't even release music physically at all anymore. Hmm. Just all streaming. So,
speaking of physical music, kind of off topic, this weekend is Record Store Day across yeah. the USA. If you could pick one record that you don't own on vinyl to have, what would that be?
If I could pick one record that I don't own on vinyl?
Yes.
Oh, man, I don't own any Becoming the Archetype records on vinyl, oh. which would be kind of cool. So I think our debut album, Terminate Damnation, is on vinyl. That would be a cool one to have.
Nice.
So
So where can people find you on this fun social media that we speak of?
We're on every platform you can think of. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube. I mean, we're on everything. So whatever people's preference is, but the new album will be out on the 12th of April, and hopefully people will jump on buying that. Record store day, we have both albums on vinyl now, which is really cool. The debut album and the new one. So
there you go. Hey, thank you so much for your time. I know you're going to be on the road. People can find that on social media too. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That was our interview with Jason from Death Therapy. I'd like to thank Jason for jumping on the interwebs and talking about his new release. It's called Voices. It just came out this past weekend. It's a really fun album. Tackles a lot of tough subjects. Yeah, we talked about that in the interview. Things such as mental health and, just life pretty much. But you need to check that out, and you can find that again. You can find that anywhere where music is sold or streamed. And like Jason said, hey, don't hate on the streaming too much, because that also helps bands get discovered. And building up those listens kind of goes a long way with that part of it. And that's just kind of how the music industry is now, but it's important. So buy it, stream it. Do whatever you got to do, and of course, share it with a friend. That's always a great thing. Hey guys, we're going to head off into the sunset. We'd like to thank all of you for checking us out. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and also on YouTube. You can give us a nice review on iTunes, give us a nice 5-star review, and we'll give you a shout out on the next show. Hey, we're also on DecentChristianTalk.com. There's a place where you can donate to us if you're not a fan of the $1 a month or the monthly thing on Patreon. You can give us a one-time donation on there. That also, we really appreciate that. We're also on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2. That's DC Talk Act and the number 2. There's Instagram, DC Talk Podcast, and we have a Facebook group called the Decent Christian Talk Discussion Group, and we also have a fan page on Facebook as well, Decent Christian Talk. And we would just love, our favorite thing that you could do is if you know someone that likes this kind of music, share this episode with a friend. If you know someone that's listening to this album and they kind of want to know a little bit more about it, share it with a friend, and we would greatly appreciate that. I know Jason would too. But we will catch you next time, guys. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.